All right, everybody, we're back on The Takeaway, and I'm Tanzina Vega. And just a heads up, this next story contains some talk about sexual assault that will be difficult for some of our listeners. Millions of Americans are using dating apps to find love, but a new Columbia journalism investigation published in ProPublica and BuzzFeed today found that Match Group, which owns Match.com and dozens of other dating sites, does not screen for sexual predators on its free apps, including Tinder, OkCupid, and Plenty of Fish.
It's one thing to know the generalization of dangers of dating that are out there, but it's another to know that your top picked for you could be someone who, you know, was a rapist.
That's Brittany Westfall, who lives outside of Aspen, Colorado. When The Takeaway spoke with Brittany, she told us that she reported her sexual assault to Tinder, only to be rematched with the perpetrator again. But whether the companies behind these apps have a moral or legal responsibility to screen for users who are registered as sex offenders is complicated. And here to discuss is Keith Cousins, one of the Columbia journalism researchers behind the investigation. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you all looked into the company Match, which owns not just Match.com, but Tinder, Plenty of Fish, and many, many other dating apps. And you found that they failed to screen for sexual predators on their free apps. Are they supposed to?
Correct. They don't broadcast or advertise that they do screen for sexual predators on their apps or on their free platforms. However, in their terms of service right up front, it does say you're not supposed to be a registered sex offender, have any sex crimes on your record, or be a felon. In addition, where they do screen for registered sex offenders is on kind of their flagship. It's not necessarily the most popular anymore, but it's still their flagship. It's Match.com. Now it's just called Match. And Match Group, this Dallas-based corporation, owns Match, as well as about 45-plus other online dating platforms. They have made a commitment on Match to screen users against the registered sex offender lists in states across the country. And that only happened after a Match.com user, Carol Markin, was raped by a six-time convicted rapist and sued the company. And sued the company not for any monetary damages, but sued it because she felt that they should start doing these screenings. As a result of that lawsuit, they did commit to those screenings. However, as they've kind of grown and expanded, that was in 2011, as online dating has grown and expanded, the company, Match Group, has not extended that promise and has not extended that kind of safety measure for users. And so we really wanted to look at that and look at why that might not be the case. And really, like you said, like figure out what responsibility do these companies have. There's not a lot in the legal realm as far as responsibility goes. So we really measured the company against its own promises. And that's kind of where we ended up with this investigation.
How common are occurrences where users on dating apps are encountering people who may have had, you know, some sort of sexual predator history? I mean, is it becoming more common as more people are using dating apps? Is it becoming more common in general? Is it just being reported more? What do we know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish I had a better answer, some hard stats. But unfortunately, this is a really underreported and under-researched topic. And there aren't really hard numbers. What I can tell you, though, is Columbia Journalism Investigations, we created a database culled from news reports over the last 15 years. The majority of them are from the last 5 years, though, which does seem, obviously, it's, you know, 150 cases. We can't say with confidence that this is representative or anything of that nature, but it does suggest that, yeah, we're seeing a lot more instances of these being reported. And, you know, it really speaks to, we need some real research in this area to really see just what the prevalence is at and just how large the scale of this issue is.
Are there any laws that exist to protect users from sexual predators on dating apps?
Yeah, so that's actually pretty interesting. Federally, there's actually a law that it almost feels like it does the opposite. It's the Communications Decency Act. And what that really does is that shields internet companies from content published by a third party. So essentially, if, you know, I get on a Match Group platform and represent myself in a certain way, Match Group cannot be held responsible. If you know, I'm like, oh, I'm a billionaire, and Match Group cannot be held responsible. That goes further with these cases we've seen where women are assaulted or raped by men who have criminal histories, who are sex offenders, who in some cases Match should have known or did know. They have documented complaints to the company, and then these individuals get back on their platforms and reoffend.
then what can the company do to protect their users?
Well, I think the company can be a lot more proactive about obviously screening at the forefront. But when users do report that they were harmed, I think they can do a lot more as far as they own 45 platforms. We talked to many former employees who expressed a lot of frustration with, okay, I'm working for Tinder. I'm trying to ban bad actors across all 45 platforms, and I'm struggling with that. It's hard for them to do. Sometimes they're getting pushback internally. Sometimes it's just the sake of, well, on Tinder, I use my Facebook profile. On OkCupid, I just used a random email address. It can be as easy as being like, okay, across the board, we're going to ask for a Facebook profile. And yeah, that's not always going to be 100%. And I keep going back to one of the biggest arguments we got from Match Group. We never were given official on-the-record interviews.
So they did not, did they respond to any of your inquiries?
Yeah, so we've been working with Match Group's PR team since probably April, trying in the effort to get on-the-record interviews with executives and individuals who are really aware of these processes. What we did get was a lot of talking points and a lot of conversations with their communications team. And one of the primary arguments they gave us was that if we do these screenings, it's going to create a false sense of security for users. And users are just going to assume that everybody on these platforms is just clean and dandy, nothing's wrong with them, and that's going to put them at further risk.
I don't know if I buy that, but okay.
I don't know if I do either. Mm-hmm. And further, I spent some time this year with a guy named Herb Vest. He's this Texas entrepreneur who in the early 2000s started a website called True.com. And True.com's shtick, their whole business model was, we are going to background check every single user who gets on this platform. It was a paid platform.
But it was paid.
It was paid, okay. Yes. And Match is also paid. But I just want to add to that, because you mentioned that even when you pay for services on Tinder, OkCupid, any of these other platforms, all have, you know, premium features you can pay for. When you pay for those premium features, you're a subscriber. You're paying for the service. You still don't get the screenings. You still don't get the advantage of having even those minimum sex offender registry screenings. Her best company, though, They went kind of above and beyond. They did sex offender screenings, they did felonies, and they had this crazy algorithm that attempted to discern whether or not folks were married. It's right in the name. He was very concerned with, you know, people not representing themselves falsely. The other thing I really appreciated about True is on their website, they had a full page that showed where their gaps were. They said, you know, if you're in this state or in this area, we don't have enough information on sex offenders, or we don't have enough information on felons. Mm. And Herb told me when I was talking to him, he said, you know, people can never rely 100% on the websites. They can never rely 100% on the websites. But he says, as an industry, he thinks they could have done so much better if folks would have gotten on board. And Herb also kind of led the charge at the state level to get some regulations going. And basically the end result of that are what's known as disclosure statutes, where these platforms have to kind of basically tell users in their terms of service whether or not they background check.
Keith Cousins, fellow at Columbia Journalism Investigations, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you or someone you care about has been affected by sexual assault and would like confidential help and support, you can please call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.